At the portal to hell.
Oh, hello, I'm Andrew Ackbar.
Like when they puts the fucking droid head on him and he's in, fuck off, mate. Yeah. Put your head on.
Yeah, you can't read that. Okay.
Okay.
My mic sounds nice. Check one.
You're listening to Double Triumph, a podcast dedicated to Star Wars role-playing in the FFG system for Edge of the Empire and Age of Rebellion in the UK. This is Bob Shoy and...
Adam Tiss!
Whoa! Tiss, last week we said we would go over your first GM session.
Yeah.
Like, pick out bits of it and comment on stuff that happened.
Yeah.
I've gone over roughly half of it.
Okay.
So I'll just pull out a couple of little things and see what you got to say for yourself.
Okay.
Triumph!
Oh!
He's dead.
What's your
mace
damage?
Finally! So we're getting like shit all triumphs, basically. We're getting shit all good rolls.
Finally.
Good rolls.
We've been waiting for ages.
Yeah.
You commented how long it had been.
In the back, there should be a supplement where it's like, if they're gonna. other encounters at the base. This shows you what's in every room. So if we go off track.
Okay, I didn't realise that.
So that's like if we say, oh, we're going to the officers' quarters. It's not
just... Yeah, you can't read that. Okay.
That's you trying to be a cheat.
That's me just trying to tell you how to. Read what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Because if you remember rightly, halfway through that game, I said to you, is there not a point where you're supposed to tell us how to use Destiny and give us XP? You're like, nah.
Yeah.
As soon as you're gone, I looked through the book.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you're supposed to give us XP and roll the dice and stuff.
Yeah, I'm off the cuff. I don't really,
Off the cuff.
Don't really roll with the book.
Seeing as you had a second session.
Yeah.
Today,
yeah.
Do you find it
fucking impossible? Yeah.
Did you find it harder than last week?
Yeah.
Even though there's more of us last week.
This book is just like nothing in red. Right?
Yeah, but last week you said that you'd find it easier to not have to keep referring to the story, and you could just
I do have to refer to the story because I don't know how it in- I still haven't read the ending. If I knew the ending, I could I should have just read the ending.
Is it not in three acts?
Maybe.
Because what I did when I did the equivalent on EOE was I read Act 1. Because I was like, they're not going to do Act 1 in a session. So I just read the whole act. And then, because Act 2, like it's like Act 1 on the EOE one was all on Ryloth. So I was like, well, that story is going to sort of resolve itself by the end.
Hmm.
Were you struggling there?
Yeah, struggling, I think.
Do you think we've got Beef with us, who's one of our players? We've actually got the whole team here.
Hey.
Bar 1.
And, Beef, did you think he was struggling today?
I felt like you looked more restricted this week. It felt as if, I don't know, we weren't in combat last week at all, were we? I don't know,
we were.
Yeah, I don't know, I felt that, did you think that, I think there was more times this week when we rolled just like nothing. Absolutely nothing at crucial points, and you didn't have anything to refer to. Like Claire rolled a. I don't know what it was for. Was it a negotiation? Oh, it was when we were trying to negotiate with those guys at the beginning.
Yeah.
Claire rolled nothing, and you were like,
The thing is, when it comes to a roll like that, you have to think before you say the roll. Okay, well, what am I going to do if this is good? What am I going to do if this is bad? And what's like another wild card? And if you can't think, like, I need them to make this work, then you shouldn't make them roll for it. You should just make it happen in the story.
Yeah.
If it's like you need us to get into a room and there's some guys there guarding it, but you need us to get in there, instead of being like, roll to get past these guards, you just be like, you get past these guards. Because if we fail that roll, you're then like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was sort of winging it through the book. Because I didn't have time to prepare, really.
Right.
I read the book.
When did you read it?
A week. But I didn't think that I'd prepare as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
This book, almost like, you don't just have to read it, you have to read it and prepare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I thought you just have to read it and then you'd know the story, but it's not. Like, you
really. No, because there's so, that's what I was saying, there's so many possibilities. Every single role that every single person does could split the story out.
If I'd done prep work, it wouldn't have been anywhere near as shit as it was.
I feel like if I was doing it, I'd feel like I was having to read the script to someone else's play, and then I had to write the next act without knowing the agenda of like what's going on.
I'd rather know like how it's going to. I didn't read the ending. That was one thing.
Did you read the start?
I read the whole way through to the, because you said don't read the whole thing, so we won't get that far.
Yeah,
but really, time is irrelevant. The whole thing
is one whole story.
Yeah, anything can happen at any time. There's no like time apart from the ending, which is like.
Well, yeah, I suppose if you read the ending, you'd have the context.
Yeah.
So you'd have. You've got to do, you know what you the goal is, and
what would matter and what wouldn't matter.
So you're saying it's Bob's fault. You're saying it's GM Choi's fault for giving you the advice to not read the ending.
It's not his fault.
Right, okay.
It's just.
No one gave me any advice, mate. So what are you going to do for next time? This podcast is just turning into like the journey of you as a GM.
I feel like it's a bit of a roast of me as a GM. It's like
me chronicling.
That's
you.
That's fucking rubbish, mate.
No one said that.
But
we just said, were you struggling? Like But I came away from the first game I did without the adventure, without the start game, really down. I was like, fuck, that was really hard. Don't know if I can do it.
Yeah.
Feel like the session was really bad. Feel like I couldn't play one into it.
Pretty
I couldn't
much
do it. It was really tough.
The session, because people into
your second session was the one that I joined in at Tisses, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember you just being like really flustered and like,
yeah, because you're suddenly like bombarded. Oh, I've got so much to keep track of all of a sudden.
Oh, and there was, like, extra people in the game as well.
And not only that, well, we were asking you questions like, what does that mean on the dice?
Yeah.
And you're like,
I had, like, sheets of paper everywhere. The thing is, our first game, we only had three players. So I was like, and it was an easier game. Then I suddenly had a game that was so much harder and five players.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. And the thing is, Becca has to live with me. So she gets...
gassed.
Oh, was that game really shit? Oh, was it really bad? Like, all the time. Where I'm like, she's like, oh, whatever. She's not interested.
Yeah.
But you're going to go ahead. Well, I don't know any different. It's like, how can you say it's bad if you have never done it before?
Yeah.
Do you feel pressured? Do you feel pressured into... Because, like, Bob's been GMing for, like, a couple of months now. And he's got himself into a groove. Do you feel pressure because of that? Or do you feel...
No, I think it's just prep.
Do you feel...
If I prepped more, I would have known more and I would have been able to roll with it.
Do you feel as a GM you've got to carve your own path, or like, so you don't get accused of being a GM Shoy copyist?
No.
You feel like you've got to have your games have like a different feel?
No.
So you're going to mimic me?
No. I mean, naturally, everyone has their own way anyway.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. To be honest, we haven't had you... run your own session of your own story of our own characters.
Yeah.
And I was like worried, if I'm going to be candid.
If I prepped, it would have been exactly like last week, because that book is basically all my prep work and the story in one.
Yeah.
So it would have been as fun as it was last week. But this week, it was literally like...
You had nothing to go on?
Paragraphs of just backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
no
what I found.
Direction.
It's just all of it is giving the GM... information which he's not going
to
pass on.
So basically,
it
I have to
you
look
down.
Through that backstory and write one of those books.
Mm.
That's all I have to do.
I feel,
and then I'd enjoy it. But tonight, it was like, fuck.
I didn't.
No idea.
When I started, I thought this was going to be way too geeky for me. Mm. Like I didn't really. I remember thinking, I was like, no, I love Star Wars, and I feel like I could get into it.
Well, we'd already had a game. We said to you, like, it's really good, mate. You
want? Yeah. Well, I tried. When I tried it at Tissus that first time,
yeah.
It wasn't until you started doing your own stuff, mm. or until you weren't using the material anymore,
mm.
that I started to really, really enjoy it, because mm. I could tell you were enjoying it more.
Yeah, and I was not only because it was my own stories, but I was more...
Flexible. You were more relaxed than you...
I'd read, like, the core rule book, because I didn't even have that rule book. I was just running, like, you've only got the core rule book today, Tiss.
Yeah.
So you haven't looked through it, you don't know the rules back to front. When I got my rule book, I was suddenly reading it back to front and learning, and then I got more relaxed into the roles, to where even when I was running pre-made adventures, it didn't feel like they weren't my stories. It all felt like they were my stories.
Well, you don't have to stick to them as much. You can be more flexible.
Exactly.
If you kind of know the general parameters of the story.
And you get to know your players, like the way they are going to... want to do things, and the things they'll find fun or they'll make them laugh or whatever.
Yeah, the reason I couldn't improvise is because I didn't know the ending.
Mm. You didn't want to take it too far.
I didn't want to take it too far and then read the ending and be like, oh, this happened, but you don't know anything about this, you don't know anything about this.
Mm.
It'd be pointless. I'd end up making the whole story up, and then you'd look through the thing and be like, what were you reading?
I'm never going to check up on you. Your GM sessions are your stories.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's going to be any sort of competition to make? Like, if you have a really good game, I'm going to be like, oh, my story is not as good. Well, I've got like,
no,
the story
it'll
after.
It'll always be different. No.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be like, yeah, because it's completely
we're different. We're
different
characters.
You don't think we're going to learn, like,
timeline.
You don't think we're going to grow to resent each other?
No.
You keep bringing it up, though. Do you already resent him?
No, I like a bit of healthy competition.
I don't like competition.
I hate competition.
I am the sort of person that when there's competition, I'll just quit the game.
Oh, really?
You guys, you guys shouldn't feel like that, though, because
no,
it's going to be
completely
different. No, I'm joking. Can be completely different.
But, because it's like...
I'm trying...
And because it's EOE, it's completely different.
Yeah, they're really different vibes.
So different,
like, this is a lot more strategic.
The only time I'd be jealous is because I'd be like, oh, I wish I could do... Like, if you did a story, I'd be like, thinking in my head, I wish I could do something to do with smugglers, and I'm like, oh, brilliant. But then there'd be times where you're like, I've got a really good rebellion.
I've got... Line, and even just, like, playing, you can't help, as a seasoned GM, you can't help but get, like, story seeds in your head. Stuff. Like, when now you're doing this Age of Rebellion, I'm a player, I'm just, like, thinking... Whenever we're in this setting, that would be a good story. Oh, like ideas for
it's
different
the same
things.
With the,
this is just like, can you let me know later on, mate?
Yeah, can you just give me a text when you get home?
For the new comics and that, like they're all rebellion based, so I'm getting loads of
ideas.
Yeah,
that's true.
But if they're all smuggler based, I'd be like, oh, I wish I was doing it.
When that Bounty Hunter film comes out next year, I'm going to be all over it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's a lot more stuff in the canon to work with in terms of the rebellion stuff.
Yeah, I can do a lot more
but
research.
In a way, that kind of works against you as well, because I feel really free.
Yeah.
In like all the settings and characters I use are like fringe characters, and I'm like,
yeah.
I can make a lot of this up, and I'm not going to go against much canon.
Yeah. Mm. I'm not too bothered about canon.
Yeah, I mean, this is his own universe. It's all fan fiction, like I said before. This is just fan fiction.
Yeah.
Do you think that you'll bring some stuff into it that is in canon? So, like, some characters or whatever? Do you reckon that would be
Jar Jar
stuff
into it a few times?
I'm not playing.
Descendants of Jar Jar.
I quit.
No, I'm joking. I don't know, yeah.
What, you mean that horrible lizard?
Most of the stuff will be in canon.
I'm
bringing
characters in.
You mean Yoshi?
The
comics and books that are out at the moment all seem to be set in this period and are about the rebellion. So are any of them going to influence your stories? Do you think?
Probably. Already, Heir of the Empire has given me loads of good ideas.
Heir to the Jedi.
Has given me loads of good ideas.
Yeah, I've been reading that, and it's
in
really
fact,
been making
me think.
The very
first part of the book is basically an adventure.
Yeah.
Because he has to do this, to get this, to that, to finish that quest.
Any Star Wars related stuff now, it's almost like I view it through the eye of an RPG game. Because when I watch Rebels, I'm like, every action they do, I'm like, oh, that would be a stealth check. Oh, that'll be coordination check. Yeah. And it's like, you can't help. But when we watch it together, don't I say to you, like, oh, if that was my game, I'd do it like that.
We should throw a survival check.
Also, I want to take influence from outside story, you know, storytelling, to put my own twist on the stories.
Without spoilers, Princess Leia issue 1 came out today, Marvel Comics. Tis, what do you think?
One for the trade.
One for the trade, is that it?
Yeah, you're reading for backstory.
There we go.
What do you think?
Like I said to you, you can't... It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't anything.
Yeah.
It was really... It was like
the back of two great additions to the...
I mean, universe. You don't know. By issue 2, it could be amazing, or just continue being nothing. I don't think it would be amazing.
No.
It's, just nothing happens. It's so slow.
Yeah.
And it really just felt like an intro to something.
They didn't hit it with a bang. Story that I'm not massively interested in.
Mm.
It's like, oh, ever wondered what happened when Leia, you know, in the rebellion after A New Hope? Not really.
What do you think about...
I was more worried about...
What do you about think about too? Someone who's like the... Who's just become the ruler of a planet that's just been destroyed?
Yeah, not interested. Why? More about how...
Because I think, unlike that's a good concept for something. Like, okay, so your dad's the ruler of a planet, but he dies along with the rest of the planet, and you are then the leader of a planet that doesn't exist. But people are still looking to you.
Yeah.
There's basis there for a good story, if they're going to tell it.
There has been.
And step up and tell it. Heir to the Jedi. You're reading, listening to the beginning of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you find it interesting when they said about how Han has like lost all his money?
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
How did he lose?
Like, yeah, money? Like it's not mentioned anywhere.
Instantly loses his money.
Yeah, they're like, he got his reward money and then like lost it, and now he's like not part of the rebellion.
Yeah.
That's a story for another day, right?
Yeah.
Has he been to Rodeo yet? Have you left Rodeo?
Yeah.
So you've got the whole bit about the lightsaber and stuff.
Yeah.
That was the best bit.
Yeah.
There's loads of little references to things. I really love that bit.
Yeah.
There are really good sections, but the writing's not fantastic.
It's not as good as the comics. Different platform, but
yeah.
I like the voice of Admiral Akbar on the audiobook.
Oh really?
It's like, oh hello, I'm Admiral Akbar.
Shall I edit this? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut here.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to record next week for another 10, 15 minutes, 15, 20 minutes like we just did. And then I'll cut it together as one 45-minute show.
Okay, cool.
Hello, this is your friend GM Shoy. Just letting you know that's the end of part one, which we recorded a few weeks ago. Didn't have the chance to record the week after. And now the week after that, we recorded part two. And I've sandwiched them together into one big pod of about an hour. Hope you enjoy the bit at the beginning where we're pulling out clips from the beginner game that Tis ran. Unfortunately, I lost like some of the clips we were going to comment on in part two, so we didn't actually get to do any more of that. That's all there is to say. Enjoy the show, and don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to discuss anything or comment anything, you can follow me on Twitter at Bob Shoy, that's at BOBSHOY, or Tis at Tis R Wolf, that's at TISSARE WOLF. Thanks, love you. Enjoy the rest of the show. Go on then, Tis, what are you talking about?
But hey, what are you talking about?
Well, you just did your end of your first, like, GMing session, beginner game storyline thing.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Finished Operation Shadow Point.
Yeah.
Haven't talked to you about it since we finished playing. Since we finished playing like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But, how much of the story did you change?
A lot.
Because, to fill in listeners, I know they're dying to hear. Originally, you started Shadow Point after you did the beginner game.
Yeah.
Struggled like fuck.
Yeah.
I think as everyone who tries to GM for the first time after the beginner game does.
Yeah.
And then you had to have a week off where you recuperated.
Yeah,
and I had to step in and do a last minute game.
Pretty much.
But now you finally came back prepared. You draw maps.
That's good.
Yeah. You've done. You're all ready.
Yeah, it was much more fun.
So when you went back to sit and prepare,
yeah,
for like round two,
yeah,
how did you prepare yourself?
Well, for the last 2 weeks, I was reading the story, and then every time I reread it, I was just like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then I just sort of thought, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to rewrite the whole thing. But not like completely rewrite it, but rewrite it based on the themes of what happens.
Okay.
And in my own way. And yeah, kind of led the story a tiny bit.
So you just used like the settings and encounters that were like in the story and adjusted it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We only had two more event seats to go through.
Which was
the customs.
The customs office, and then when we got attacked.
Yeah.
Because the first section was getting the recruits, right?
Yeah.
So we did like Act 1 last time and Act 2 and 3 this time.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
For like your session this week, you were far more laid back, and that made it better. Like you didn't feel rained.
It was like the beginner game. It was like the beginner game.
It doesn't
had every note here.
Yeah, that's what you got to get.
And I already in my head, I knew exactly what was going on. So I don't know, when questions came at me, instead of being like shit, I'd be like, I know the answer to that one. I know the answer.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have to look it up.
Yeah, because it was already in my head. Because it was my own story. And I only wrote down half, like, a little bit of it, and the rest was in my head.
Yeah.
And I just trusted myself to remember it.
You don't want
to
write down too much, because then you're fumbling through your notes. Mm. You want to know enough of it in your head.
Because I've been thinking the story for, like, at least the finished story for at least a week.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, because I've been thinking about it, and subconsciously just thinking how you guys are going to approach it, pretty much every way that I've thought about it, I kind of knew how I was going to...
Did we do anything unexpected, or did it all go according to plan?
I didn't expect you guys to get imperial suits for the customs,
mm-hmm.
but I was hoping you would. But I didn't think you would.
That was a bloody genius idea. That was cool. Whoever that was.
That was a big thing.
Because I thought, I can't really expect them guys to do that.
But you did. What about our amazing plan to try and draw the bodyguards to the moth by throwing a detonator at him?
Failed twice, and then the third time
there was no one else there anyway. We just threw it at him.
Yeah, I wrote those failed detonators in because of how hard the last enemies were, and because I didn't know if Danny was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote in 5 stormtroopers plus them off.
So you didn't decide to cut one of the stormtroopers out when Danny didn't turn.
I completely forgot, and then when everything was on the board, I was like, oh, I can't really cut that now.
But then you had to introduce the Beast Riders as our like allies. Yeah. So.
We nearly forgot about that. It was only when you nearly died, Bob.
In my first go.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about the Beast Riders. That's why this is massively...
But the thermal detonators, I thought, at least if one lands, that's already given you a big advantage.
Yeah.
That's probably taken out another stormtrooper. Well, it did in the end, it killed them all.
Did you think we were going to use them, or we just didn't think about?
No, I thought you would use them.
That's why I gave them to us.
Yeah. I actually meant to give you a disruptor pistol at the customs, a disruptor rifle even, like a counterfeit, like not counterfeit, like an illegal one, but I completely forgot.
I feel like when we do your game, Bob.
Yeah.
We leave tactics out and just go mental and just go for anything and completely forget to look in our backpacks. And then for some reason, when it's your game, we've got grenades.
Maybe because Bob's on your team and he's way more tactical.
It's because I'm just like, as a GM, I know
when I'm on the team, I'm awesome. Just like, I take the vibro accent. Pretty much my only tactic is
you're like, I get into engage.
It's hard to know like what the boundaries are and what you can do as like a player.
You do anything. Especially, yeah, but a lot of the time, I will give you a hint if it's worth doing. Like if you come in, I will explain everything that's in the room. And then if you're like, well, I want to search the cupboards, I would say, okay, roll perception. And that's if you find anything interesting in the cupboards, or you might just like skip over it. I can't have you just walk into a room and roll a perception, though.
But sometimes
I'm going to explain what's in the room before you do that.
Yeah. I think the Rebel ones as well are quite combat based.
That's the thing. The other reason why it's more tactical is just because the story calls for, you're in character more. Like our character in the Edge of the Empire game is you're a bunch of like ramshackle smugglers and escapees and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're just floundering your way through the galaxy and trying not to get caught by a space slug. But yeah. In Age of Rebellion, we're like, I feel like we work as a unit because we're trained as a unit and stuff. Yeah, and we've all got our roles. We've got the soldier and the spy and the engineer and the ace. And we're doing what would be tactical in that situation.
Yeah.
But I like that it's got a different vibe.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make the Rebel one too combat based.
No, you've got to have a
It'll
balance.
Be massively combat. Yeah.
Because I've more like space. Not like... Yeah, maybe like more space battles.
Yeah, like, I never get a chance. Anytime I write space battle into mine, you guys always miss. I think I've only done space battle with you guys like once, twice. Yeah.
We killed this TIE fighters.
Yeah, every time you manage to get away with it. So, yeah. Tis, write in some space battles.
Yeah.
Well,
actually, I've written a space battle.
Cool.
For the next game.
Oh, spoilers.
Yeah. Maybe a Star Destroyer.
So, four X-Wings versus Star Destroyer.
Your characters die in the first game.
Yeah, create some new ones.
Next week will be character creation again.
So next week we are creating our own characters for the story.
Yeah.
And then you'll do like a little introductory story.
The introductory story is actually quite... it's not massively long, but I feel like it will take at least a whole week to get from A to B.
Wow. So it's not a short hour-long introductory story?
If you want a longer session,
just write a shorter one then. Like, write an introductory one. Because, like I say, when I did the Edge of the Empire introductory story,
yeah,
it was, like, less than an hour. And it was, like, it was basically the story of how you guys met. You guys had told me your characters and roughly your backstory. And I said, well, this is how you met. This is that backstory. And I just played it out.
Yeah.
So I knew the beginning and I knew how you ended up, like you're on the ship together. But it was like how the twists went. Like I knew Danny would get on your side eventually, but how it happened and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe just try and write a
tiny little
one. That was like you know is only going
to
take about
an hour. On the way to the proper introduction. Because the introduction session is going to be like... Not an introduction session so much, just the... You're travelling from your old... base to a new base, and on the way there'll be a little skirmish on the way kind of thing.
We'll just write a story.
But there might be a skirmish on the way to be on the way, you know.
You could always do something like in the base.
In the original base, yeah.
How our team comes together or something.
Yeah, it could be like a deployment.
Even if it's set like from that. a year before the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like you said in the next story we're an established team.
Yeah.
But that could be like 1 year later.
Yeah,
and this is like how we met and our first like meeting or whatever.
We all get like assigned on a mission, and this is our first.
Could be
meeting.
like a build up.
And then, because then we'd meet, have our first meeting, and then it would be like, now 1 year later or whatever, or two, like however long. And you could have a small little.
That's a good idea, actually.
There you go.
Ooh, flashback, prequel.
Prequel
to the game.
Episode one.
But it won't be about 10 years after we play the game. It'll be. An actual prequel. Bit of a snipe at Lucas.
Oh, talking to George Lucas, it's just off topic a minute. Stay on target.
Stay on target.
Yeah.
But I was going to say to you about the Darth Vader comics.
Yeah.
About the cover artist.
Yeah.
About what you thought. About it being your number one artist.
Who?
Adi Granoff.
Oh.
he's been doing the covers for Vader.
Actually. Yeah, he has. Yeah, they're good. He's a good artist. Not worth a grand, though.
You like his art, but you don't like his attitude.
Yeah, I pay about £3.
Because do you know who's been...
to look at the art, and that's enough.
Do you know who's a fan of the... Who does the covers?
In fact, no, I pay £3 for the cover and the story.
Mm.
So maybe 30 pence for the cover.
Do you know who's been digging the Star Wars comics?
Eddie Granoff.
George Lucas.
Well, he should do.
He's been buying the original covers.
Oh, really?
Like the original artwork, yeah.
Okay.
He's been buying it all up.
$5 million for a bloody Star Wars cover.
You think Iron Man was a grand? How much is a dark?
Apparently, the originals. He works on a massive scale, so that's actually like the covers are like this big when he draws them, and they shrink it down to comic book size.
Really?
Yeah. So I bet they do actually look really good. Like, I don't want to say they're good because it's
he's a swag.
But
what a tosser! So basically, so that he can get more money, he's like, oh, I'm gonna do a massive one. What a cock stain!
I don't think he'll get any. I don't think he'll get any more money.
The centimetre squared he gets paid by.
What a dick size.
Anyway, that was me off topic. I keep meaning to say that to you every week.
Sorry, Gail. We do love the covers, but there's prices, man. You're like the Apple of comic book writers.
Are you enjoying that cookie?
Really nice.
I
could have bought a million of these cookies for one fucking Iron Man drawing from Andy Greenough.
Some of the ones he was selling as well were literally just like a line drawing, basically, and just like painted over.
I'm a Marvel character. Marvel.
Especially like Iron Man. Like his Iron Man wasn't, it wasn't like he'd drawn every like rivet and bolt. It was like a real, just like a red outline with a gold face in the middle. Anyway, back on topic. So the plan is next week, we're making our characters, you're running a little introductory story.
Yeah.
Then you'll have a week off, do a little bit of Edge, and then we're back on.
Yeah. What would you say? So we're, yeah.
Making characters, short thing, week of Edge, and then back to you when you can really start.
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, so we'll have like, 2 weeks of this
mm-hmm.
from last week, so... And then Edge, and then back, and then start the second part of the story, like the flash forward.
Yeah,
and then we'll do it every other week
mm-hmm.
from then.
And we've got Imperial Assault now on the back burner.
For and if we want, a week, we depending on what stories are like, I can say, okay, I've got a story that can last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Same with you.
Yeah, I mean, soon I'm.
If I'm on a roll. And I'm like, fucking yes, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
There's no reason why I can't just be like, oh, we'll have another week off.
Oh, isn't it? No, it's fine. I'm going to be starting a story soon, which is going to be like... Like 6 weeks worth of story or something. It's like fucking long. No, don't do that. It'll be good. but that's like... even if we end like... I want to get Act 1 done before I take a break... And you're nearly at the end of a session. It's like, well, I'll do the first hour and then you take over next week from me. Even that, because once we're all set up for us to switch seats and everyone just change their character cards over, it's going to take like a 10-minute break while I put the curtain on.
Mm. Also, this week I'm going to pick up some stationery.
Well, these folders, we'll just have all our characters in our folders.
I'll just keep the same folders.
Yeah, like...
Have you got one?
No, I need to get myself one. But Beast Folder, he can have his characters for your game, characters for mine, his notebook.
How do we get the character creation things that we got?
Oh, we'll have to print them. They're on the website.
Are they the same?
No, they'll have them for Age of Rebellion on the website. I think they'll actually will be the same. Or near enough.
But one's got duty.
Okay. Oh, yeah, well, it'll probably be different then. If you go on the fantasyflightgames.com
mm-hmm.
and you go to the... Edge of the Empire page or the Age of Rebellion page, whichever one you want the stuff for.
Yeah.
There are, and you click on, and you go to support. Underneath support, there's so much stuff that you can print off. That's where the Shadow Point story was. It's where the extra characters are. It's where the character sheets are.
Yeah.
It's where the ship sheets are, like the one I've got for your ship in my game.
Okay.
And it's also where you can get, you know, I've got a group, the group sheet, which has all your obligation and stuff on. Where I roll your obligation, I have that in front of me.
Okay.
That you can get all them on the website.
Sweet.
Seeing as I've got you here, Beef.
Mm-hmm.
Alright.
Yeah.
Right, okay. You had any thoughts about your Age of Rebellion character yet, or not thought at all?
I haven't put any thought to it whatsoever.
I
haven't even looked at the book to get any ideas. But I reckon after my EWE backstory, I'm going to have to pull something out like quite impressive.
Yeah, but you've got nothing to prove now.
Wow. Yeah. I'm excited to create a character, but I just haven't had time.
So you're going to make it very different to the one you've been playing in the other game?
Yeah, I quite like the idea of this guy being like, or girl, could be girl, being like proper smarts. Not so much brawn and gunnery.
The thing is,
is
because
that,
you guys have all had such combat characters in Edge, I feel like everyone is terrible. Like, I'm going to be Knowledge this time around. And we're just going to be like the fucking team of friends.
Not necessarily,
yeah.
Not necessarily poor at gunnery, though. Just, I want to try and use some of that. I feel like for AOR, we're going to more like leadership and knowledge.
Well, I think it would be good if one person on the team takes the commander role. And then they can have, like, leadership, and they can have warfare knowledge and stuff like that.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily mean I'm going to be, like, a mechanic. Just not... Because my EOE Aeros is pretty good at gunnery. So I don't want to be as good.
Your stats are very... It's like stealth... piloting, gun. Heavy weaponry, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's like amazing at those three and sort of average everything else. To average to weak everything else.
Yeah, I'd like to be average at gunnery and then and max out on some pretty good stuff. Maybe leadership, I don't know.
Mm. I think stuff like that's going to play more of a role in these games anyway, like...
And like strategy and... Right, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, being tactical. I mean, like, because you have even got, like, the added knowledge stat of, like, warfare in this.
But I feel that, I don't know, maybe the girls should be the gunners. They should be the...
It's a bit sexist, isn't it?
Well, Claire's got the book. Claire's got the book. What's piquing your interest in the book, Claire?
To be honest, after you guys were saying that, I was actually considering being a commander.
Oh, really? You were going to step up to the plate?
Or I was kind of
I'm not being sexist now, is it, Claire?
Through my own choice, though, surely. Yeah, I was either that or the diplomat. But
diplomat
then I'm
or
thinking,
commander.
Well, diplomat's a bit sneaky, diplomat. A bit like, you know.
So you're thinking commander or diplomat, those sort of more leadership roles.
Yeah, because my last character was a bit kind of like hide away and just like attack when required. You know
well, you're
mean?
A scoundrel in the other one, so
nice.
A bit more sneaky. Okay.
So I quite like being an ace in the like intro story we've just finished.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The base, but again, as a pilot, I could be a pilot or a gunner, and I'm pretty much both. Commander might be quite cool, but maybe you want to do that.
Well, Claire's looking at either commander
do,
or diplomat.
I feel you should get first dibs on whatever you want because you haven't played
the character I've been making in my head. I probably am going to be a field medic.
Oh, that would be cool.
Which
a soldier.
Which is a soldier class, yeah.
Yeah, not a soldier.
You got any ideas, Tiss? Where you're going to... Oh,
DMing.
You're DMing. Shit.
I'm going to take up the role of games master.
Yeah, I'll be writing the stories and killing you guys. I mean, helping you guys.
Yeah.
Becca said
maybe a spy? What's Becca doing?
Yeah.
Becca hasn't looked at all, I don't think.
Oh, okay. I don't know what Dan will do. Dan will probably just wing it. You know what he's like.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking at Slicer.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Looking at what they gain. So they gain computers, knowledge, education, knowledge, underworld, and stealth.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still adequate in a combat sitch.
See, that's the thing. Do you go with a commander that's, like, blatantly going to be good at attack and all of that? Shebang.
Mm.
But then, like, diplomat might be quite fun because you're just like
diplomat's like really different to what we've been doing in the other games anyway. Tiss was going to be as an alt character once he retires. You're in a trader.
Oh,
which is like completely like different. It's probably the most opposite to his Wookiee character he could be.
Yeah.
But we're gonna need another Yorin. Like we're gonna need another Wookiee, aren't we? Let's face it.
Maybe I'll just start killing off your characters. I'll just start killing off your characters, and you'll have to make new ones.
That might be quite fun, though. Although you lose all of them.
That's the thing. It's like, do you kill them off in a blaze of glory?
Yeah.
Or just
I was prepared to go on Trandoshan.
Yeah, I know.
For that cause.
It's
you looked at the...
I'm happy I'm not though.
No, not at all.
Oh.
I'm no clue yet.
So I'm looking at it now.
What are you looking at?
Quite liking the specs of a diplomat.
Oh
yeah, they're quite fun.
You know what? There's actually gonna be quite a few missions where you're gonna have to bring
people in, like in
recruit Clone people. Wars,
you're going to have to recruit people to the
side. Cause.
So yeah, Ambassador is quite good, although I quite like Agitator.
They all look quite fun, to be honest.
It's quite good fun. I've already narrowed out all the gunners, because not that I don't want to be good at it, but these guys still get... So it's either Diplomat is lower ranked in gunnery, or I think I might go for Diplomat or Spy. So you're thinking Diplomat as well?
But. Diplomat or Commander. I'm slightly swaying towards Commander because that's not what I was playing last time. Diplomat's a bit edging towards...
See, I like story as well, so I might judge it.
There's a lot of cool story you can have from being the Diplomat. Mm. It's like if we're in a team, Commander, whoever takes on the Commander role, they're sort of the leader of the group. Mm. But then you've got, if they've got the Diplomat with them, they're almost like,
he's like,
not, they're not in control, they're not in command,
like right hand the commander,
but it's like, it's like when they have to take, like, Padme on missions to recruit on behalf of the Clone Wars. Like, she has to get her gun out and get her hands dirty, but she's there to try and, like, negotiate with people more so, and the commander's running the show.
Rick's clearly a leader, but Daryl sometimes is like, Rick, mate, you really don't want to do that.
Rising.
Yeah, Rick's like, yeah, that's a good idea.
The only thing that nobody's choosing yet is like an engineer, but I've already sort of...
You don't have to be an engineer.
You don't have to be that, dude. Whatever
we could be five diplomats. It'd be really boring and weird and hard, but you could be whatever you want.
That'd be the weirdest Asian Rebellion story ever. Five a team of diplomats.
What can you want to play?
It's like a combat situation, like we all die.
Yeah.
Spy sounds cool.
But we managed to advise each other extremely well on our dress sense on the way up to the combat sitch.
Maybe soldier, but I don't enjoy playing as him, but I might enjoy playing as somebody else. May enjoy playing as more of a different spec soldier. Yeah, exactly.
And what are the six nations?
They are on target.
What countries
are involved? What nations are the six nations?
England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Italy and France.
That would be a good...
Used to be. Anyway, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Italy and France.
Yeah.
Why them two?
They're the six best Northern Hemisphere teams in the Northern Hemisphere.
And four of them are our country.
Yeah.
This is off target. Yeah. This is what pisses me off, right?
How can we have that?
Are we England or are we the United Kingdom? Because depending on what sporting event it is, we're one or the other. Can we just decide on which one we are?
Well, no, because different... Well, no, because you look at the history of the sports. Every sport is different in the way it was created. So
yeah, when the way it was created, get with the program.
You can't, because there's no.
There's no copy basis that.
To go by, is
there's
there?
There's no need for that.
Anyway, can we get back to AOR, please? Because getting a bit sick of all this rugby talk.
So when are you starting to GM?
when I finish my degree.
It's probably when we'll be ready to go on Force years. And Destiny.
You're going to GM Force and Destiny
in 5 years.
If I'm honest, I would love to GM.
Is that when you finish your
get Rachel things?
Rachel would be a great.
Rachel would be an amazing GM.
Is that when you finish your things?
She would never do it. Mm. Faith.
Yeah.
Has Rachel seen all the Star Wars films?
Yes.
Does she like Phantom Menace?
No, she hated it. So she's a proper Star Wars fan.
No, she's a real fan.
She got really shitty with my little brother when, because we're trying to get my little brother into Star Wars. He's 12. He's like, my dad doesn't really do films at all, so he's like had a tough time in it already. And he was like, "Oh, I started at Phantom Menace because that's number one, right?" And I was like a bit, I was like, "No, I can see that's a mistake. I can see how you've made that mistake. You scored number one. Clearly, that's, but you want to start at number four." But Rachel was like, "No, don't even watch it. It's a waste of time. Don't watch that one. If you want, I can give you a brief version of what happens in
Phantom Menace." There really is like hardly anything that happens in Phantom Menace. Yeah. For how long and drawn out that film is, like, there's a race and Anakin's a little baby.
She basically
there's a horrible lizard that you don't need to worry
literally,
about.
Literally, she said, "Don't watch Phantom Menace," and she pretty much gave you exactly what's just happened.
You really can skip Phantom Menace. If you just watched Attack of the Clones from the start, you would... You're not missing anything by not watching Phantom Menace.
No, the only thing you learn is that at one point, in Phantom Menace, the only thing you learn is at one point, Vader was small.
Yeah. But you can guess that anyway from the fact that he's...
Be like, yeah, by the way, he's an adult.
I think he was once a child. I guess that about Vader before I'd seen any of the prequels.
Oh, let's not forget you get introduced to Jar Jar, and that's just a magical moment.
You do. The only time anything from episode 1 comes up is like at the end of episode 3 when he's like, Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
And he says about like talking to people from beyond the grave or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just.
And
all of it is wanked. I don't even really like 2 that
much. No, 2's not that good.
I suppose the Confederacy. The whole Confederacy
plot. Yeah. I don't watch Star Wars for the Confederacy. No.
Dooku when he's like, oh, this is a horrible mistake, oh, we must stop this, and it's like so fake, and Obi-Wan's just like, pull the other one, mate.
He's got bells on.
So you know what I mean? Dooku's just like, terrible mistake, oh, we must get you set free straight away.
I think 2 has a couple of alright bits in. It's kind of slow. It has some really cool scenes on.
Yeah.
Like, it has the start of the Clone Wars is really cool.
Yeah.
When Yoda's like, when they got all the ships going over the battlefields and shit, and Yoda's like trying to give battle commands in the most like.
I like Obi-Wan visiting the clones.
Yeah, and the Kamino bit's really good.
Kamino.
And even the fight at the end between Dooku and Anakin and that's a good fight.
Yeah.
When Yoda's
it's just so slow to get going. The whole first half is like, I know everyone says this, but it's like the romance plot is like. Obviously you need it, but it's like way too much.
Mm.
And it's really like badly done. Like Lucas can't write romance for shit.
Yeah.
He's better off writing more like tongue in cheek, sort of like nudge nudge romance like Han and Leia.
Yeah.
When he's actually going for like lovey dovey romance, it's a fucking mess.
Awkward.
And it also has my least favourite scene of like the whole saga in number 2. The droid factory.
I hate
the fucking droid factory. I don't mind. C-3PO is a kind of comic relief character, but when he's way over the top, he pisses me off. Yeah. Like when they put the fucking droid head on him and he's in. Fuck off, mate. Yeah. Put your head on.
Well, Clone Wars, like, for me, the second one is summed up in that it was on at Christmas on like ITV or whatever.
Mm.
But Jurassic Park was on BBC One. It was just, I don't know, they must have been playing the whole saga over
it. Christmas Day, they're like, oh, I'll put on any of the songs. Just put on episode 2. It's the one you would never just be like, oh, we'll just watch episode just 2.
Whack it on.
It was, well, they must have been on, I think they were all on over.
I watched the original trilogy first.
What?
I watched the original trilogy first.
Yeah, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2.
If I was to only watch one, I'd watch either episode 5 or 6.
Really? You'd skip 4?
If I could only watch 4.
Yeah, my favourite is 5. Yeah. It's the best. That's what everyone says. Like, it's the best written.
Yeah,
it's the best. It's the most like sinister, and it's just so well written.
Like really Christmas Day, you get one film. It's that one, isn't it? Because it's got everything. It's got.
Luke, and then you can watch number 6 on Boxing Day, and then Cloud City, back to work, isn't it?
And Hoth.
Well, you might as well watch number 4.
And Dagobah.
Yeah, that's it. It's got 3 so awesome planets on it.
Like, it's so great.
You get number 1, burn it. Don't even watch it. Watch number 2 if you want.
Watch number 2, but fast forward any bits where they're rolling around in the grass and eating weird fruit.
Yeah, because you don't even see
any
tits.
Bit that looks like a droid factory.
I love Obi-Wan's sarcasm.
Nothing.
And he's just like, come to save you, Master. Good job. Good thing.
That was a pretty good Anakin impression, mate.
Yeah. Oh, you heard me, Master. I thought you'd like that.
You know what's really sad? We watched some of the bonus features on the DVDs and Blu-rays and shit. And that dude who plays Anakin, he gets a lot of shit. Off camera, he actually seemed really alright.
Yeah.
It's almost like he was getting really bad stage Christian direction from Lucas.
The thing is, though, you look at other people that have had careers, right? So you take Sam Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson. Sam Jackson.
Oh, sorry. Do I have to start saying Bradley Pitt?
Bradley Pitt. There's a Bradley Pitt, you Bradley cock.
Anthony Blair.
Yeah.
Anthony Blair.
You can't just add names to people who don't have
names. I was just about to say. Why didn't you think of Anthony Hopkins?
That's
what
we say
anyway.
Tony Hopkins.
Alright, Tone.
So, Sammy Jackson.
He accepted some shit job.
When you saw Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen off
Hayden
camera,
Christensen.
They seemed really like friendly and actually seemed both really sort of alright. It makes me feel like it's almost like Lucas was like, nah, play it shitter. Bit shitter. Like bringing it down. New Hope was all Lucas. And Kasdan came in for Empire and Jedi. And then Lucas was like, nah, I'll do Phantom Menace on my own, it'll be fine.
Was it fuck?
Egg on his face.
To be fair, right? Before CGI, Lucas was controlled in his little box and...
Yeah, he was reined in.
Yeah.
I think
as soon as CGI, they were like, anything can happen. It's like, right, let's fucking do this and this and this and this. And it's just like...
When you consider how much he did without CGI, like, it was almost like if CGI was there, it would have been that over the top anyway. It's like he literally...
Well, the remakes were.
Yeah.
Jabba. And the fucking random shit in the background.
Did I tell you, did we talk last week about the Phantom Menace, the original cut?
No.
Apparently, when he put the original cut together of Phantom Menace and all the footage he'd done and put it down into like an original cut, it's 6 hours long.
What did he cut out?
Exactly. No one's seen it.
What?
And apparently the 6 hour version is amazing.
Really?
Is it shit?
The only people that have actually said like they've seen it in interviews
is Lucas.
Are the guy who played young Anakin in Phantom Menace and I can't remember someone Peter Matthew Reynolds. Wood who worked for Lucasfilm, but he ended up voicing General Grievous in Revenge of the Sith, but he was working with Lucasfilm for all of them anyway, and he said he's seen it and they both were like, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, but they were, didn't
they? I want to see that 6 hour cut. I would watch Phantom Menace again for 6 hours to see that.
If it was good.
Can you watch it?
I wonder if you could understand the story if you cut out every scene with Jar Jar in.
Probably, yeah.
Because they should do that. This is what I think, what Disney can do, which will make people love them before the film even comes out, is release the Blu-rays of the original cuts of 4, 5 and 6. Before number 7 comes out. I mean, they're obviously going to do that. That's a complete no-brainer. Also, get the original cuts of 1, 2 and 3 and recut them in a way that's better. So don't refilm episode 1. Just get that 6-hour cut and cut it into a good film.
Mm. I think that's important.
And they'll call it episode 1, The Phantom Menace, brackets, the good version.
Or something.
You know, Lucas would cut it into his own one again.
He's not allowed. He sold it.
Apparently,
it's not his. That's what I'm saying. Disney need to get their hands on that 6 hour cut and be like,
right then,
we're
maybe
retiring.
He didn't sell the 6 hour cut, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I think. I reckon that's in his vault, it's under his bed
with his porn mags.
No one will ever see how good it could have been
if he stuck together. Porn mags.
I'm genuinely watching,
no one must ever know how good this film could have
been. He sabotaged Star Wars because he was sick of it. That's what it was. I want to watch Phantom Menace with the commentary on, and I want to do it soon. Because I want to watch
it. Want answers.
I want to watch it with Lucas and see what he has to say about it whilst watching it with you. See if how
I
much he can defend
says,
it.
I reckon he says, like, three things.
Like, when Jar Jar's on it, is he sitting there laughing he's watching it with you?
Yeah,
yeah,
a horrible, cynical laugh, like he knows that you know shit.
I lost a bet until we had to put this character in.
I just want to hear what he has to say about Jar Jar. Like, okay, so I thought this wacky character would be really fun.
Basically, I spent this weekend in Amsterdam.
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all for this episode.
That is all.
What is?
Thank you, humanoids.
Wild Wild West was a bit of a clanger for him.
That's gonna be cut out.